The organization, it's a children's charity, actually, Hillary, called Kids Peace, helping children and families overcome various crises. They've been in operation for a number of years. They have about 100, no, I'm sorry, they have 65 centers around the country. Well, why am I explaining it? Let's get Mr. O'Donnell in here. C.T. O'Donnell is the president and CEO of this charity. You've been in existence now, I'm looking at this, 124 years, Mr. O'Donnell, yeah?
That's right, Doug. We're looking to celebrate our 125th anniversary next year, and we're gearing up for that. It's a shame services to help children in crisis are needed, however they are. And
well, you use the term celebrate, which is an interesting choice of words here. Your organization came about as a result of what specific need? What happened 124 years ago to the founder?
Well, there was a smallpox epidemic, and a lot of parents died, and it left a lot of orphans in the Bethlehem, Pennsylvania area. Mm-hmm. And because of that, there was some generosity from a person who was the president of Bethlehem Iron, later to become Bethlehem Steel.
Right.
And that person founded an orphanage and donated some land, and it grew into a national organization.
So this organization now has modified itself to deal with the issues of the day. So I guess we heard from you, I know you did an interview yesterday, you probably did tons of them, but I excerpted some of the interview from KDKA, and we heard that a little bit earlier. One of the things that I got out of that conversation was the appropriateness or lack thereof of discussing these sorts of things with pre-teenagers. I got from listening to you that this is not the appropriate thing unless you're old enough, and by definition, I guess we'd ask, what is old enough?
Right. Well, there's a couple questions loaded in there, Doug. What is old enough? It comes down to the individual child in many cases. As we know, some of our kids mature at a very young age, and some do not. Some adults can relate to that as their parents, even as their children even get into the teens or post-teen era. They're still not very mature in some ways. However, there's other very young people who do mature and can handle information. So it's very individual depending on the child. If one needed a general rule of thumb, I think, especially for very young children, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old set, I think it's more important for them to, it's very important for all children to feel safe and secure.
Yes.
I wouldn't even expose those children to this kind of information. Yes. I think, now the middle, the older, yeah, the older children, I think, when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they're starting to hear it anyways, so it's more important that when they're getting the information anyways, that the parents be up front and be able to talk with them and listen to them. I think as important as it is to keep kids safe, it's that important to make them feel safe, too.
In schools, is this something that there is appropriate dealing with the subject matter? Do schools tackle this, or do they shy away from it?
Well, again, I think it's different in different schools. I remember in the 50s hiding under the desks in building bomb shelters.
Yeah, Hillary was just talking about that, you know, what we remember about that.
And that was frightening.
It was. However, we got in trouble for chewing gum and spitting, and now there's metal detectors at the gate, and the kids are pregnant and carrying weapons, and it's just a different world we live in with the scourge of drugs and violence.
So to deal with this requires concentration and sensitivity. But everybody's question is going to be different, it seems to me. So you've come up with 10 tips that are pretty universal here in talking to children about the shootings. There are a number of items, and whether you want to go through them one by one, 1 through 10, I think that they all have merit. So why don't we, as time allows here, get as many of them on, and let's we'll if we need to parse them, that's one of the great words of the last decade, parse some of these words, we'll do it. But well, let's get started with what food for thought you have here for parents.
Well, sure. I think they're in a loose descending order of importance. I think one of the most important things we need to do is to listen to our children, mm-hmm. allow them to express their concerns and fears.
What are they going to say? What are children saying?
Well, it's different for different children. Some very young children perceive the things they see on TV when it's showed repeatedly over and over again.
Well, do you hold with me? I've said to Hillary, we have a very young child here, and I've said no television under any circumstances, no matter what it is, until the child is age 2. And then from that point on to some appropriate time, I don't even know what that is at this point because I don't know what the child will be like, no news, no coverage, because I can't even begin to imagine that there's any value in this material for a child that's 5, 6, 7 years old. Why would they need to know this? What is their? I mean, they can't really synthesize this information, can they?
Not well, and not safely, and not without anxiety and fears. That's why it's important, Doug, to listen to the child rather than just talk to them or talk with them, mm-hmm. because they're going to express, if you're really listening, different people, not just children, perceive different events in different ways.
Yeah.
So we need to know their fears and anxieties, some of which it may be very helpful to parents, that they're very resolvable or in a very easy way they can show the child that, hey, you don't have to be afraid about that.
But we've become, even as adults, pretty naive or simplistic or sophomoric about some of this stuff. Everybody's got a cell phone. Most people seem to be full of fear for the reasons that you and I were discussing a few minutes ago, the essence of, you know, every day there's something that we have to worry about. There's terrorism. It is a time that is fraught with all sorts of things. And I think parents are not very mature oftentimes about this stuff. They tend to be scared, too.
Well, I agree with that. It's a brave new world for parenting and for all of us.
Maybe not such a brave new world. It's a scared new world.
Yeah.
So and
you have to be honest at the same time, Doug. I mean, if an older child, an adolescent, asks, can this happen to me, we have to be honest and realistic, say it could happen to anyone. But another important point among the tips is that regardless of the age, we have to reassure children of their safety and security.
Don't tell them a story. Don't say, oh, no, you'll be okay.
Yeah. But you can tell them with all honesty that all the adults around them, the parents, the teachers, the school officials, the police, are all invested in protecting them and keeping them safe. You can say that with honesty.
Mm-hmm.
You can also give context, too. It's as horrific as these school shootings are, it's still safer to be in school than to be on the streets.
Well, then there's that question about whether there is a lock and chain on the school when you go in. Are there policemen there? What does that do to a child? What does that do to the... I mean, again, we go back to when we were kids. Going into school and la-di-da, you go in the morning and you go to your locker and you go to homeroom and they check you in to make sure you're there. Now, in many of these schools, either the doors are locked all day and you got to have a pass card to get in, or worse yet, there's a policeman standing there and a metal detector. Good God.
Right, but to prevent these kind of events from happening.
Well, but what message does it send?
Well, but there's another question I have, which is, why not also tell children that they have to be vigilant? I mean, I know that you can talk about the odds and it won't happen to them, but just the concept that there are unknowns in the world and we're responsible for what happens to ourselves. You know, there's a great saying that if a car goes through a red light and hits you, it doesn't matter if it wasn't fair, it was a red light, you're still dead.
Yeah.
Well, I think the vigilance is true, Hillary. I believe that. There are things we can do, and kids, the older kids particularly, can help us help them. If they see kids who are acting out or threatening violence or bullying or being abused, if the other children are being abused, and if kids are a little more aware to these situations, now I'm talking about the older kids, they can help us help them.
All right, so let's spend just another moment here with CT O'Donnell, president and CEO of this organization, Kids Peace, which has certainly got open arms and open doors for this problem. And do you always need support? Are you always looking for people, or are you funded by the same family that started this?
No, Kids Peace is a national children's charity, and we live off the charity and help of other people from around the country.
All right, so you go to kidspeace.org, where you can actually look at all 10 of these things that we've been talking about, get them one by one and absorb them. There's also a website that I was talking about earlier that you recommend called teencentral.net. So spend 30 seconds on that, will you please?
Sure. Teencentral.net is a great place for kids to go. It's a safe place on the Internet where they can get some clinically screened advice.
It's not like MySpace.
No.
MySpace.
It's anonymous. It's safe. There are adult intermediaries. However, it's in a language and about issues that are really important to kids.
Yeah. All right. So the Internet also is an important thing, an important tool here. It can be dangerous. As I said, MySpace, I think, is very dangerous for kids. We've talked about that here on the air. Whole different set of problems that have to be dealt with. So it's good to know that there is a place that people can go and share information that's safe. Teencentral.net, kidspeace.org. Thank you, Mr. O'Donnell, for your work. Appreciate your being here.